This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
I won't really believe you until I can take a video of it and post it on Instagram. So on the count of three, you guys are going to say Star Wars Rebels. One, two, three.
Star Wars Rebels!
Woo! Cheer like you're excited. Woo!
This went down, so it's up in front.
I love technology. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get this started. We're going to be talking about a farewell to the Clone Wars. Everybody say aww. But hello to Rebels. Everybody say yay! Hey, all right. So what we'll do is we'll go down the line and introduce ourselves, tell us a little bit about who we are as Star Wars fans, and maybe a quick reason of what we like most about Star Wars, the Clone Wars, and what we're looking forward to with Star Wars Rebels. And we'll kick off this discussion. So let's jump down to the far end.
Hi, I am Bria Lavornia. I am a staff writer for Toshi Station. Favorite part of the Clone Wars would be majority of it, season four, I think. And then what I'm most excited for Rebels would be Hera, who happens to feature in A New Dawn coming out on Tuesday. And actually, we've got a surprise for you guys. We're going to be giving away these three copies of A New Dawn, thanks to Del Rey. They are also all signed by John Jackson Miller and the cover artist.
Wow. All right.
I don't have a giveaway to announce, so we'll get that out of the way. I'm Amy Ratcliffe. I'm a writer for StarWars.com and Star Wars Insider Magazine. And one of my favorite parts of Clone Wars was Asajj Ventress. And what I'm really looking forward to in Rebels, Sabine and also Chopper. I'm already in love with Chopper.
I'm Brian Novicki. I write for EUCantina.net. What I like most about the Clone Wars was just how much it added to the prequels in general and really helped flesh those characters out a lot. And I am with Amy. I'm really excited for Chopper in Rebels.
I'm James. I am a contributing editor for BobaFett.com. I'm really looking forward to Sabine also. Big Mandalorian fan. So that was also some of the better storylines from Clone Wars. Were clone and Mandalorian centered. So bringing that on.
I'm Bethany, and I'm one of the staff at StarWarsReport.com, where we do podcasts and we write about the Clone Wars, Rebels, and Star Wars in general. I guess I will miss the Clone Wars because I got pretty attached to all of the characters in the series, including Ahsoka, even though I was very skeptical about her to begin with. He talked me into watching the show, so I'm not a huge fan of that. But I'm looking forward to Rebels mainly because of Sabine, I'll admit.
Clone Wars, Darth Maul. Enough said. I'm Riley, by the way. I'm the executive editor over at StarWarsReport.com. And also for Rebels, you know, I'm actually, Sabine, after seeing the clip, and I'm sure we'll have some artwork and stuff throughout the panel, thanks to James here, by the way. So let's give him a round of applause. He brought us some materials, by the way. By the way, I just to see the animation style of the Clone Wars in the era of the Rebellion, that's going to be amazing, and I cannot wait.
Tight squeeze.
Yeah, it is. I'm Tom Hutchins. I'm the founder of the Mandalorian Mercs, and I also am a writer for StarWars.com. Of course, the Mandalorian stuff and Clone Wars is my biggest fandom there. But I'm looking forward to Sabine, but I'm also looking forward to just how the characters work as a cohesive unit against the Empire. I want to see that. I want to see, like, the guerrilla, how they do a lot of the guerrilla tactics and just see the rebellion kind of in doing what it normally does. So that's what I'm really looking forward to the most.
Absolutely. And so there we are. There's our panelists. Let's talk a little bit about the Clone Wars. I would love to start and jump. Whoever can jump in would be awesome. But I'll tell you what. We first saw Ahsoka. And raise your hand, by the way, if she irritated you. Even a little bit. All right. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this. Anakin has a what? And that was really the reaction. She became, by the end of season 5 and into season 6, such a beloved character. And that kind of character arc is the kind of thing that the fact that Dave Filoni, George Lucas and company won fans over with a character like that over that arc just proves how timeless Star Wars is. And in an animated format, it really, I think, proved itself, which is what I think makes so much room and excitement for Rebels coming up. But let's talk a little bit about the character of Ahsoka and her arc a little bit. And feel free to jump in with anything else you have to say. I'd love to start with you, Bria. As far as the character of Ahsoka, in terms of her arc, did you see potential at the beginning?
Mostly I wanted to know who thought giving Anakin Skywalker a Padawan was a good idea. I thought she had potential. It's just whether or not they're going to take advantage of that. I think they did a really good job of it. I'm still a little bitter about how season 5 ended with her, but I think overall they showed her learning how to be a better Jedi, how to be a better Jedi commander, and just, you saw the actual growth and it felt very organic.
Yeah, and one thing that I think they had a hurdle overcoming with Ahsoka is they introduced her, and obviously she's not around in episode 4 and beyond. So you're looking at a character who, not even in Revenge of the Sith, we don't see her. So a character that we think is just going to die, and like, what's the point of getting to know this character if she's not going to last in the universe? But I think they successfully got past that and made her, you know, she's Han Solo or Ahsoka, it depends on the day, but those are my favorite Star Wars characters. So I think they did a great job giving her a path and making her like develop into this really intelligent, independent young lady person.
I was really happy with the end of season 5, actually, because I was like, oh, whew. She's gonna be okay.
She's alive.
She left. All those people died. Don't go
she
with
did
them.
Quite literally
I'm just
walking
bitter
into the
about Barriss.
Okay.
Forever
yeah,
bitter
enough.
About Barriss.
I don't know. Was anyone else like feeling really triumphant when Ahsoka took a walk?
And oh, just, for
like,
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You do that.
Screw you, Mace Windu.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And just like seeing her relationship with Anakin, like that was really awkward at first with all the Sky Guy and R2-y, but like watching the two of them
Snips.
Kind of grow together, her grow, you know, as a Jedi Padawan moving towards knighthood, and Anakin even growing in his Jedi knighthood, and how he reacted to her leaving, I think really informs, you know, a lot of his character in Revenge of the Sith.
One thing that I thought about Ahsoka's character in the beginning was, oh, this is going to be another person that Anakin loses that helps push him towards the dark side. And as the seasons progressed, I really saw Ahsoka more as someone who kept trying to pull him back more towards being on the straight and narrow, so to speak. And that, for me, was quite amazing to see a character, a young Padawan, basically, she's almost the positive influence on Anakin, rather than him being the one always teaching her. I mean, he does, but her influence on Anakin was very interesting to me to see. And one thing that I really liked about the Clone Wars in general was its portrayal of the Jedi, especially through the eyes of Ahsoka. You know, we see the Jedi start to drift away from their path. We see them turn from the peacekeepers into the warriors, from, you know, the guardians of the galaxy, so to speak, into we are now soldiers.
Sorry. Well, it is such an amazing character arc, I guess, and I'll kind of reiterate what I said at the beginning, but I think my conversion, we'll say, into Ahsoka becoming one of my favorite characters really, I think, took Star Wars storytelling to that next level, especially in the prequel era, where I felt character development is not necessarily the most popular part of that era of the saga. And it was so interesting to see a weekly serialized television format portray characters that you may have seen on screen for a few seconds, but now you wouldn't care about. Like, when Ki-Adi-Mundi took it in episode 3, spoiler alert.
I cried.
Oh
my God. So it's hurtful. He's just so hurt. He's like, what's going on, guys? And you're like,
that whole scene, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting to see those characters that we didn't see much of in the films, but a richer universe be explored. Because that's what Star Wars is so good at doing, is taking those characters that you didn't know so much about and discovering more about them.
Yeah, like one of my biggest disappointments with the prequels was that we didn't really see the Clone Wars. We saw them start and we saw them end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd been spending my entire life being like, oh man, the Clone Wars, Obi-Wan talked about that in episode 4 and I really need to see it. And then I'm really thankful that we got to see it.
I think my relationship with Ahsoka went from head desk at the beginning to, you know, man, you know, they couldn't have given a character a better out than they gave Ahsoka. But it's the open-endedness of the way she went out, and you know, they kind of left it open for her to come back, maybe not as a Jedi, you know, in the Order, but there's room for her to come back now. And she matured so much. I remember watching Clone Wars when the movie came out. We were doing a troop of it at one of the malls in North Carolina, and watching it, of course, you know, I love Star Wars, everything Star Wars, and I was like, Sky Guy? She calls him Sky Guy? What kind of Padawan is this? I'd have already been like, send her back to the temple. But, you know, she grew on me, and she matured, and seeing how she grew, became more of a fan. And, you know, yeah, it was hard to see her go, but I'll be really happy when they do bring her back. I'm sure they're going to at some point. You know?
Unless she got caught in Order 66 by Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah. Oh, you don't think he can go? You don't think he'd see her and then be like, no, no, you're good.
Nah.
I don't know. I mean, he was force choking Padme, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to touch on really briefly on Clone Wars before we jump to the next, to Star Wars Rebels, and maybe do our first giveaway. But in throughout the Clone Wars, besides the character of Ahsoka, we do learn a lot more about our main characters. And that's kind of the other side of the page, is that we learn so much more about Obi-Wan and Anakin as characters. Yeah. And let's touch on Anakin real quick, because two things. Doesn't like sand. number two, not the most disciplined, greatest example of your Obi-Wan like serene Jedi Knight. And he's kind of the misfit, and that is what you see in the films, but you see so much more to his side of the character a little bit. Brian, I'd love for you to touch on what you thought of the character of Obi-Wan, but especially Anakin as they were portrayed throughout the Clone Wars.
You know, it's just really interesting to see the progression. You know, like people were saying, seeing Ahsoka be a positive influence on Anakin, which was, you know, Yoda's whole idea of putting them together. You know, Yoda recognized that this was kind of a troubled youth in Anakin, and just seeing kind of the back and forth that he has, you know, growing as Ahsoka and being a hero versus, you know, ending up on Mortis and almost going to the dark side there. And he just has a lot of interesting kind of back and forth, and watching him grow into a potential future Vader while also still trying to hold on to himself was fun to watch in the Clone Wars. And then I loved learning more about Obi-Wan and his relationships and how he could have potentially gone off a similar path to Anakin, because he had that, you know, flirtatious relationship with Satine, and if he had made some different choices, he could have been, you know, he could have been an Anakin Skywalker with a secret marriage, but he held to that Jedi code instead.
Because Obi-Wan rocks.
Yes.
For me, seeing the character of Anakin in the Clone Wars, the jump from episode 2 to episode 3 was a little bit abrupt for me, even with the Anakin completely losing it in episode 2. But even with that, it was still a pretty big jump. And the Clone Wars did fill in that gap for me. And seeing what the Clone Wars did to the Jedi, and especially to Anakin, I mean, they're trying to save a galaxy that just... the Jedi can't do it by themselves. And you see what happens to the Jedi when power starts corrupting them as much as it starts corrupting the Senate. So, for me, the Clone Wars was sometimes a sad show to watch, because you see the decline of Anakin Skywalker very clearly in a lot of episodes.
I think another good thing that they did was really build up that relationship between Anakin and Obi-Wan. Yeah. Because if anyone here has read the Revenge of the Sith novelization,
it's so good,
which you all should, it'll break you, but it's great. They always talk about, you know, like Kenobi and Skywalker. They're the dream team. They're the ones you call to get stuff done. They trust each other inherently, and you don't see that. You see a good relationship between them, more or less, in Attack of the Clones, but you don't really it's a little bit jarring when you see the jump to Revenge of the Sith, and then I think the Clone Wars did a very good job of helping fill that in.
Well, yeah, there's the scene, you know, at the end of Revenge of the Sith when Obi-Wan does his whole, man, I wish we had James Earl Taylor's voice on record where he could do, you know, the scene where he's like, you were my brother. And I'm like, really? Because I didn't really get that from the prequels. You guys were close, but I didn't feel that as much. And Anakin's development in the Clone Wars made me much more appreciative of the prequels because I feel like it filled in those gaps. And we got to see them be a little silly and kind of like they were at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith in that dogfight where they were joking back and forth. Like, I wanted more of that, and the Clone Wars gave that to us.
And speaking of James Arnold Taylor, the voice cast for Clone Wars was incredible.
Excellent.
So good. Absolutely. Like, actually, James Arnold Taylor did a, anyone familiar with Joe Hogan? He's a Star Wars artist. He did a motion comic called, what was it? The first one was, there was Panic Over Munalisk is the new one. But it's really good, and it's in the Clone Wars style, and James Arnold Taylor actually did the voice of Obi-Wan for that also, and it was pretty cool. You should check it out on YouTube.
I kind of think a little bit opposite as far as the brother mentality between Anakin and Obi-Wan. I feel like it started out as a compromise, I feel, when I go back to episode one and watch Yoda, you know, begrudgingly giving consent for Obi-Wan to train Anakin, telling him the council did. I feel like that was kind of a compromise, but I feel like that instead of the mentor relationship that should have been there, because Obi-Wan was so young and Anakin basically grew up as Obi-Wan grew into knighthood, they acted more like brothers to me. I mean, having a brother myself, I feel like they acted more like brothers and not as much as a mentor-mentoree relationship throughout that. And in the Clone Wars, I see a little bit less of that, and Anakin acting more on his own and less as, you know, needing approval from Obi-Wan. So that's where I kind of like that part of the Clone Wars better. It seems like it's really more of a Jedi relationship and less of a brother-type relationship we get in the prequels.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, it's the end of an era, and who here was pretty bummed about the way Clone Wars went out? Be honest. Yeah, it was sad. I'm so glad we had the Save the Clone Wars campaign, and we had the ability to, what I think directly influenced Lucasfilm to give us parts of season 6. So I want to end on this note. Season 6 on Netflix now, by the way. Check it out. But
who else has seen that?
Yeah, who's seen it? Let's see some hands. Six. All right, everybody else leave the room now. No, we can stay somewhat spoiler-free, but Amy, I'd love to touch on you. What your impressions on, we got that glimpse. It's almost terrible. We saw where it could have gone even more.
It was hard. I was excited, and I enjoyed the episodes immensely, but I was definitely sad. I wanted Ventress. I wanted a little more Darth Maul. I was, weirdly enough, okay like with where we left off with Ahsoka, because it was sad that we didn't know what happened, but I felt like that was a good ending for her. And... you know, I enjoyed the arc I enjoyed the most was the first one about Order 66 and kind of seeing some of that. And I liked seeing Palpatine. He screwed up. Like, and it was nice to see that, as calculating as he is, because in general I don't think people give Palpatine enough credit for all the strings he put in place and everything he did to put the galaxy in this perfect storm for him to, you know, come in and rule. But I liked seeing that he effed up. And owned, you know, and had to deal with that, and I thought that was really important to see.
Yeah, it's kind of scary how close they came to ruining all his plans, and then just missed it by this much.
Apparently, I don't know if it was in season 6 at some point, they had a Darth Maul story arc that they turned into a 4-issue comic that they just finished last week called Son of Dathomir, I believe, and it's really good. It's a continuation of Darth Maul and the Black Sun, and what was the other group?
Mandalorians?
The Pikes. Well, the Mandalorians, but the Pikes, that was him. Okay. So he had the Darth Maul Mandalorians, which are just the coolest looking thing. They've got like the horns and red and black and everything. So that was really cool to see that arc. But I'm not going to talk about it because it just came out Wednesday and you should go read it, but I mean, it's kind of left up in the air like Ahsoka, really, so where anything can happen. So, but it's good. You should check it out.
I thought I got cut in half again, but no. Oh.
I didn't like the spider butt Maul, but everything else with like the claws was cool. But yeah, when he's got a big old spider butt. Sam Witwer, by the way, who did Star Killer from the Force Unleashed games, voiced, and he did a couple of other voices too, but he did the voice of Darth Maul in Clone Wars. Just the whole cast. I can't stop saying
that. Yeah, they were great. Wonderful.
I don't think I've ever felt as bad for a Star Wars character as I felt for Fives in that one.
Yeah.
Seriously, I almost cried. I mean, I really almost cried at the end of that because I felt so bad. I almost kind of felt like, and I know, you know, I don't want to start any controversial stuff here, but I almost felt like I was watching a Karen Travis novel a little bit because of the way Fives was really done in that arc. I felt like I was reading some Republic Commando stuff, and you know, and that it felt kind of good, but
they really humanized the clones. Yeah. On you know, you get their viewpoint of it, and that's hard to do when you watch a Star Wars movie. It's this like, all, it's always the main players, you know, and you're seeing what they're doing. But Clone Wars, especially in the later seasons, you're able to pick out these characters that were just Clone Wars characters, and you're like, you end up going, I like all of these Clone Wars new characters better than the movie characters on this show now, and you want to watch their arcs.
It so. Really narrowed down the point of view into from a mm-hmm. huge galactic wide to small pocket wide, you know, or individuals.
Yep.
And that's what made Clone Wars so great, I feel.
And they're doing it again with Rebels.
Yep.
Yes, and yep. Speaking of Rebels, I'll tell you what, we'll transition there briefly. I do just want to close with this, though. It would be, it's going to be so amazing to see where Rebels continues where Clone Wars left off and see that thread in so many of the same creative team. But I'll tell you what, as a child of the prequel era, I'm the young one. And I'm going to take like a brief risk. Let's see some hands. Who enjoys, I won't even say the prequels, the prequel era. Who enjoys like the Clone Wars prequel era? Okay, so we got a decent crowd here. I'm still terrified to say what I'm about to say anyway, but I absolutely loved those films, and that's what introduced me to the Star Wars saga. And so it is kind of sad to see that era come to a close, but it's so great to see Star Wars Rebels as, I think, a tool to be able to see that transition, and maybe you guys who are fans of the original trilogy can more appreciate some of the elements of the prequel era that that will hopefully be portrayed through Star Wars Rebels. But before we go any further, I'm gonna talk to our AV guy. Let's take a quick risk. Can we roll the trailer by any chance?
In 1 minute.
All right. So.
Well.
Let's talk about the original trilogy.
Well, yeah. If you notice, too, Disney loves them some original trilogy. Like, all the toys now, everything is all original trilogy. And as a fan of that series, like, that is great.
Well, and another quick note while we're setting it up. So there weren't a lot of fans for the season 6. If you guys have not seen all the Clone Wars or just a little bit, I encourage you, check it out.
It's
it is
Netflix.
On Netflix,
yeah.
and that's the way to introduce it.
It was so exciting because I felt like sometimes I was a Clone Wars evangelist to my friends, especially the ones that were grumpy about the prequels. I'm like, no, look, you need to watch this series. And especially it was so satisfying that when it launched on Netflix to see so many tweets and texts that, oh, now I get it. I'm like, yes, it's an amazing series.
We're good.
We're ready to roll. All right.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen.
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy,
move along. This is a restricted area.
Heroes will rise.
Entering hyperspace.
Destinies will collide.
Who is that kid?
And a rebellion will ignite.
I'm going to snuff out this spark before it catches fire.
What happened down there?
He did.
We need an opening.
Found one!
Kids, stop!
Sounds like someone I used to know.
All troopers, focus your fire on the Jedi.
Our future is uncertain. But in time, a new hope will emerge.
Your parents must be worried sick.
I don't have parents.
The Force is strong with you, Ezra. Come with us. Learn what it truly means to be a Jedi.
What part of Blast, then?
time? Did you not understand?
It's over, Jedi. Not this time. Now!
The premiere of Star Wars Rebels. Join the Rebellion. Coming this October on Disney XD.
Excuse the intrusion, Inquisitor, but I have encountered a rebel cell.
You did well to call.
Your devotion to your master is admirable, but it will not save you. Nothing can.
Focus your fire on the Jedi.
I don't know if this shot was actually in the trailer because I couldn't see the entire thing, but I don't think there's anything cooler than when Kanan gets the two parts of his lightsaber, they click together, and then... Sorry, so good.
You're so exciting.
So, Star Wars Rebels, guys.
Yeah.
I just have to point out real quick, the spark that catches fire, perhaps referencing another well-known franchise... volunteering for a tribute, anyone?
So where should we start?
Oh my goodness, where to start? Let's talk about some of the new characters. I think we've got some of the headshots. Well, here's the thing is, tell you what, you guys have to tell us how it is because we can't see the thing. Like, sounds good? All right, so reaction shots. But no, let's talk about some of the characters. Let's talk about some of the crew of the Ghosts. Let's start with Kanan. There's still Jedi out there.
He's a cowboy Jedi.
Yeah. Amy, would you want to start us off?
I have to be so... Kara, I was telling them, I was lucky enough to attend the first a screening of the first episode of Rebels at Comic-Con.
Everybody, Amy Ratcliffe, thanks for coming on. We're going to be back. Bye.
So I'm going to be so careful not to spoil anything you haven't already, that hasn't been shown in trailers.
No one say anything?
No.
How was it?
No,
tell us how it was.
I'll do impressions.
Okay.
Rather than talk, because I'm afraid I'll be like, and Kanan did this, and you'll be like, what? It's good. It's. I will admit that I had Clone Wars is my Star Wars. So when it ended and I heard we were getting another animated series, I was a little bitter. I'm like, nope, I don't want another one. I just want more Clone Wars. Why can't you do that? But that said, I didn't have low expectations going into Rebels, but any expectations I had were far surpassed. He's kind of sat there at the end of the screening, was just like, man. That was amazing.
I don't want to like you.
I'm kind of resistant, but it really has. I know that everybody keeps saying involved in it that it does parallel the vibe and feeling of the original trilogy of A New Hope, and that's definitely there. They all interact.
And the Macquarie art.
Yeah, and you can see and you can see that especially like in the TIE fighters, but like all the battle, like it's very much like the banter that Luke, Leia, Han, and Chewie have. Not too much of a copy. So there's that. The characters are really, the best word for it is heartwarming. You're in a galaxy that is still, I know people are worried because it's Disney, that it's going to be Disney-fied and it's going to be really light and not, that's bull crap. It's Star Wars, you know.
They killed a lot of people in the trailer.
Exactly, and you can have a lighter side. I mean, it's a galaxy there's some pretty serious things going on. It's a galaxy under the thumb of the Empire. People are trying to rebel, but you can still joke, and you can still have humor within that, and you kind of need it so you don't just cry all the time. So it's awesome, and I'm so excited for everybody else to see it so I can nerd out with all of you, because... I think you're all really going to like it.
I'm actually quite excited to hear you say that, because I'll admit I was kind of afraid to go on Twitter and say this, but I was like, Rebels? I was like, where's the My Clone Wars? Why won't you come back? So it is good to hear that. So I was kind of dragging my feet into Rebels, like, you better impress me, Rebels. I know Teresa's shaking her head. But like, so we went to Star Wars weekends, my brother and I, and we went to Rebels panels there. We talked to some of the voice actors there, and I got excited for it. But I was a little hesitant, but hearing you kind of had the same reaction to the Clone Wars ending. So you and Star Wars weekends both have me really excited for Rebels. Your creative team, everything that we've seen in the trailers, but I'll still miss Clone Wars.
Now we're all going to pause for a second and let Amy be our Kevin Smith and say, just kind of nod your head. No, no, we won't make you do that. We won't get you in trouble. But yeah. But James, yeah, Star Wars Rebels, it's been kind of a, it came so quickly. I mean, we heard about episode 7 before we heard about this show, and look, it's premiering this week. It's amazing. I mean, we got the special
October.
This week of October is what I'm trying to say. No, but we got. But it is. I mean, it seems to be coming so quickly compared to some of the other processes that come down the pipe. James, talk a little bit about your process of, are you converted? Are you excited?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, what I love about it too. I mean, we touched on the fact that I mean the banter between the characters is very original trilogy-esque, and that's something I think that was missing from the prequels a lot. I mean, besides the fact that there were different writers on the original trilogy instead of George Lucas trying to write them all, and he's not really known for his dialogue. But this show, there's a lot of banter, and the crew really reminds me of anyone who's ever played like KOTOR or even the Old Republic MMO. You have this crew, and you have kind of your main character, which it looks like they're going to bounce around between like Kanan and Ezra as main characters.
Kanan and Hera are kind of the the leads.
And everyone's already shipping them, so.
Did you see that clip?
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute.
Did you see that
clip? Well, I thought they were just playing that up for Chopper.
Actually, hold on.
Romance.
This is not going to be a spoiler for the book so much, because like I said, if you've seen the one clip with Hera and Kanan, you figured it out pretty fast, unless you're James, apparently. But I like that Amy mentioned that there's like the Han, like all the banter with Han and Leia and Luke and all, because in this book, which obviously features Kanan and Hera, they had a very like a New Hope Han and Leia relationship to me, with a lot of that banter where, you know, they're fighting, one of them's not really interested in like, you know, hooking up with the other because they've got rebellions to do, guys. And I'm really glad to hear that that's going to be in the first episode of the show as well, because that was definitely one of my favorite parts of the book. So,
well, they, I mean, we'll get into, I guess, the individual characters in a minute, but the fact that we have like this Han Luke hybrid character, very Kyle Katarn type of character, that's the captain of this ship, you know, and then you have, or the owner of the ship anyway.
Hera's ship.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, that's Hera's ship.
This is how much I pay attention to this ship.
So, no, but I'm really excited, and the fact that there's a Mandalorian on there with this new armor design that we've never seen, and, you know, you have, like, this more sarcastic R2-D2 kind of character.
Yes.
And, I don't know, it's really cool. Oh, and we were talking about the McQuarrie designs. They have, Zeb is the original design for Chewbacca, so that's pretty cool. Actually, in the clip with Sabine, where she's blowing up TIE fighters and stuff and painting, the first character that they have knocked down, the stormtroopers are over top of him, is the design for Han Solo from all the concept art. He's sitting there with like the earmuff.
Oh, yeah, you're right, it was.
So there's going to be lots of Easter eggs like that in the show, and I love stuff like that. I mean, anyone who loved the EU is always like, this character's name is such and such, and he was in two frames of Mos Eisley Cantina. So, like, all of that stuff is cool. And it would also be cool to see, like, who else from the canon shows up. I mean, this is technically the first published new EU novel that's not Legends. So, besides that one episode, or the couple of things in Star Wars Insider, I guess. Yeah. So,
and the Darth Maul comic.
It'll be cool to see who shows up or is maybe re-canonized. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, I am interested to see a relationship that is not Padme's and Anakin's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially not the Clone Wars Padme and Anakin. Yeah.
She was on that show?
Okay, and there's that.
Those photo episodes were good. I like Padme, but I don't like their relationship specifically in the Clone Wars. It's just like, I love the character of Anakin and the character of Padme, but not together.
Although I did like in the Lost missions when like Padme was like, no, this is not happening. I'm that was like, thank you, Padme. I'm glad to know you have some sense. I needed to see that.
Yeah, I was really happy to see her stand up for herself in that relationship a little bit.
And real quick, I know we're on Rebels, but talking about the Lost missions. All right, so I know most everyone can't stand Jar Jar Binks, but on the Lost missions when he was with Mace Windu, I was like, all right, Jar Jar, that wasn't so bad. Like,
he was competent. Yeah.
Because they
ones.
Played off each other.
Yeah, that was funny.
You know, it was good. And like Jar Jar had like a girlfriend.
That was weird.
It was weird, but it was like it was like a train wreck. I couldn't look away. But so he kind of, he was redeemed a little bit there.
I question your taste. I just think it was because he was next to Mace, and Mace can be cool, but he can be a bit of a jerk sometimes. So
a bit.
Again, we established it at the beginning of the panel.
I mean, he's just, because Mace Windu sits there and he's just kind of making fun of him the whole time and calling him such a fool, and then Jar Jar just accidentally accomplishes this thing, and Mace just like, how did? Okay.
We just don't know. I think that was the universe's way of saying, Mace, you need to really just rethink things a little. Yeah. Chill out. But back to Rebels.
Well, let's jump to Ezra. He's kind of our new semi-protagonist. We're seeing, we've heard the Aladdin comparison sometimes. He's the young chap we're going to see.
Street urchin.
I have a super quick comment about that.
Please do.
If you're worried about the street rat thing and the overt Aladdin thing, it's not a constant. Like, if you're stressed about that.
I mean, it is a whole new world, so.
Well done.
Mos Eisley, mighty is he.
I do have questions about this light slingshot thing.
Does that look cheesy?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Really, all right, we're good. All right. By the way, just throughout the panel.
I trust Amy. Everyone should trust
Amy. Just have a quick panel. Just everybody look at Amy and say, okay, all right, good. We're good.
And I have the worst poker. I have no poker face.
Well, it's interesting because I can imagine it's difficult to make approach that character without being too overtly Luke Skywalker, because you do kind of have, if he's kind of like the street rat Luke Skywalker, that is an interesting concept to explore because Luke comes up in such a. In such a way that...
Every time you say that, I just want to go, just a little snack, guys. Like, every time you say street rat, it's just playing in my head. I can't stop.
I think I just give up.
And now it's a musical panel. Starring us.
We have broken into song twice Ezra. And no more. Ezra. But yes, yeah. Ezra. I can imagine it would be difficult to approach that character, and this is enormously hard to have the discipline not to say, so Amy, how does it work with... But
how's Ezra?
When you're talking about a cast like that, it'll be interesting to see how they fit into the Star Wars universe. Because usually, with the example of even Expanded Universe with the Clone Wars, there's kind of an anchor of characters we already know. And here, Dave Filoni and company are being pretty bold with saying, we're starting with a completely fresh new batch of characters. Yeah. Except Obi-Wan.
Well, he's only a little bit.
At Tosche Station. No, just kidding.
What's interesting to me about Ezra is kind of seeing the initial reaction on the internet being like, oh, no, another kid character. After we just went through all this with Ahsoka, where we had that reaction at first, and then everyone's like, no, Ahsoka, my heart is breaking. So Dave Filoni has totally, I think, earned our, acceptance of things, and we should be a little more willing to give Ezra a chance before we write him off like I've seen a lot of people doing.
In Dave we trust.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, when we met Dave at C5, and it was just shortly after the first round of Mando storylines were coming out, and we were talking when they had inducted him into the Mando Mercs, and he was so apologetic to the group. He was like, you guys, just trust me. It's going to get better. I'm so sorry that it's worked out like this so far. And I was like, you poor man. Like, but then, and he was right, it got way better. It was really cool. So he won me over with that.
Actually, Brian, I hadn't actually considered that the skepticism towards Ezra being very similar to the skepticism towards Ahsoka, but we don't really, at least not to my knowledge, have that much skepticism towards Sabine. I wonder if it's the fact that, everybody just loves her the minute she shows up because she's cool that way.
She's a Mandalorian. She's a Mandalorian.
There's
no skepticism about that.
I think a part of it is that she's a female character who's clearly can kick a lot of butt. And she's also a character of color, which I have never been more relieved to hear someone confirm immediately, because I've had to deal with way too many people being like, oh yeah, hey, that person's played by a character of color, or a person of color. No, alien. So it's nice to see that we're getting, like, there's someone, in the way that Ahsoka was that lead female character and all the little girls could be dressing up as her, I feel like Sabine's going to be that for this new generation that's watching Rebels.
Yeah, and I feel like some of the confidence in the character of Sabine is because of how good the character of Ahsoka wound up being, mm-hmm. too, and being a Mandalorian.
She's
totally.
16. I'll show. Yep. Sabine's 16. Yep. I see a lot of people complaining about her armor, saying it doesn't cover enough, like, it's not armored up, and I'm like, it's like the ragtag, she's a rebel on this, like, crew that's, the galaxy's at war right now, so this is all she's got.
This isn't all her armor either. This is actually a lighter version. Dave said there's another more heavily armored version. He calls her adventure armor, that's got gauntlets.
Sell those action figures.
Tell
yeah.
more.
Which we never got. We already have the Sabine figure, and we never got our Bo-Katan. Like, what's that
oh,
about?
Yeah.
Like, I love Bo-Katan.
It's because we yelled on the internet to get our Sabine and Hera figures.
Nice. Yell about yeah, Bo-Katan.
There was a lot of fight because when they originally gave and like announced the action figures for Star Wars Rebels, it was boys, 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 and a droid as far as the eye could see, and not a single one of the two main female characters. So various people amongst the blogosphere started Good. Going, Hera, Sabine, please, thank you, and we've been getting some progress there. So.
Yeah, what I want is a Sabine minifig from Lego. I haven't seen that yet. I really want
yeah.
that.
There we go.
The ghost and the... What's the little turret fighter out the back of the ghost?
Phantom?
The Phantom.
Oh,
the Phantom. Yeah. Yeah, so there's no Sabine, though. That's got the rest of the crew, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I love Lego.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, and there's so many more characters to talk about and a limited amount of time. I've seen, I've made a quick observation. I've seen a lot of heads nod or shake or stuff. Let's make this interactive. What I want you guys to do, if you have any questions or comments, just keep them somewhat short and then just form a line right up here at the microphone and we'll make this interactive and get some questions in and have you guys, we'll take some characters. And have that and roll from there as far as our character discussion. But yeah, no, get up. That's your cue, sir.
Awesome.
and we'll try to squeeze in some other characters. But again, this is y'all's panel as much as it is ours. So let's get it started. You, sir, what's your name?
My name is Alonzo. My question, and I guess our comment is, what do you guys think about Sabine being like a distinctively creative character?
I love it. It's great.
It's something kind of different in Star Wars. You don't really see a lot of artists in any of the other things that we've seen. So having her, you know, especially in that clip even, she started out just spray painting that symbol back on the wall over there against the TIE fighter. And it's just a really interesting, unique character.
But Palpatine was a fan of the theater, though. So.
Yeah, we did. He likes But I do like that we're getting that because I don't feel like that's something we've explored a lot in Star Wars. And culture and creativity is important. It's important. To any city, any galaxy, any whatever. And I think that was something people were worried about with her, that some people liked it, but also some people were like, but you're making her a girl who likes creative things. That's not the way to look at it at all. Ladies like different things, including arts and crafts, and being creative, and blowing things up with those arts and crafts. So I think it's a great
too.
Combination.
The little prop thing
yeah,
she had, that's fun.
Spray gun,
I mean,
yeah.
I've seen people start making those, that's really neat.
I'm pretty sure the 12-year-old me would have been like running around screaming, going, I need that costume on my body right now. Because 12-year-old Bria was obsessed with explosives, so that would have been amazing. That sounded worse than it meant, but I meant it.
Pardon me, I wanted to bring up the Lost episodes. I'm assuming you all have seen it all the way through to the end. I went and Googled after watching the last four. I hate to spoil this for everybody, but is Yoda a ghost? And people were posting stuff on forums regarding that even before the Clone Wars cartoon series came out. And then my question is, where does this all fit into the timeline?
What, the Lost episodes?
Yeah. No.
Possibly being a ghost?
No. That was a comment for you all. Oh. It wasn't a question. Where does the new Rebels fit into the timeline?
Oh.
Is it after General Order 66? Is it?
Yeah.
It's after
66.
Three years before 66?
No, it's 3 years before New Hope.
New Hope, okay.
Yeah,
thank
before
you.
Episode 4. It's 3 years before Episode 4.
Yeah,
so that's why we're starting to see, you know, more traditional TIE fighters and stormtroopers and things like that. We're getting a lot closer to
I New felt Hope. The same way as a lot of you have. It's like betrayed by Disney, and a friend of mine said, no, you really need to watch this because Filoni is bringing back a lot of old characters, even though Disney doesn't want him to, and he's seen a lot of stuff that you probably have online because he's a big fan, and he's been really kind of convincing me to watch this, so I wanted to come to your panel to see what your thoughts were on this new show.
Cool. No, the team for Rebels is amazing. You know, Dave Filoni, Greg Wiseman of Spectacular Spider-Man and Gargoyles fame and Young Justice, the people making the show are incredible, incredible creators.
Saying. He said you'll really be missing out on something and cheating yourself by not watching it, even though, you know, Disney is behind it, they're not actually doing it, so.
Yes, and my thing when I see people say that Disney is going to kidify things, like, the people that say that, I don't think ever watched Tron Uprising on Disney XD, because that show went to some pretty dark places sometimes.
That was an awesome cartoon.
Yeah, so
from seeing Disney do that Tron Uprising show, I've got full faith that they're going to let Star Wars do their Star Wars thing.
And clearly they let Marvel be Marvel, so I don't see any reason why they're going to interfere with Star Wars like that.
I was going to say, Disney has a history of they bought Pixar, they bought, the Marvel movies are now Disney movies, so I don't think we really have to worry about that. I think really Disney allows Lucasfilm now to do a lot more. I mean, we're seeing movies come out. We're seeing a whole new series of books. We're seeing a new TV show. So I'm really excited. I don't think 100% of it will be 100% wonderful because they're exploring. So some of it's not going to quite hit right, but that's because they're doing so much more now. And as a Star Wars fan, I'm really excited about that. Even if some of it falls a little flat for me personally, I know other people will like it.
And I think Disney's role is really more as a distributor at this point, and they're providing distribution routes and for all these different, properties and things that they own now. So they're not really meddling as much as they're just sitting back raking it in. They're like, here's a check, go make your thing. We're just going to sit back and reap the benefit. We're going to give you more of an outlet.
Yes, and there was a dark period. There were a lot of ongoing projects
that not anything going on for a while. Just like, where is Star Wars? There's no books. What do I got here? It was weird.
Now you're built up for Rebels, and everybody wants to watch Rebels.
Absolutely. Next question, sir.
Hi, I want to say the Clone Wars was great. I loved Hondo.
Yes. Hondo.
And also love Voss. Will Voss or Hondo please be in Rebels in some way, shape, or form?
I wish I could say.
My bet is Hondo will be. I doubt Voss will be, but if you want some Voss, they just announced a Voss Ventress novel that's coming out next year.
Right.
It's written by Christy Golden, who I believe is at the convention. So I think you might be able to get your fix there for Voss.
And how much did it affect the production of season 6 when Disney bought Lucasfilm? Were we going to do, 20 episodes?
They cut it. I think they were halfway done, and that's why we got... They had written through season 8, hadn't they? Because they had the writer for Clone Wars come on and do a Twitter Q&A, and people just sending him questions, and he was like, this is what was going to happen on season 8, right. Which was... That's probably collected somewhere on some website, I guess. There's going to be more Boba Fett stuff, So we got 6 episodes, and they were going to be probably the normal number.
Because the Maul comic is based off of episode plots, and the Voss Ventress really book is based off of old episode plots.
Hondo was such an awesome
character. He's cool.
Where's James? Jawa James, not you.
Rise. Your question, sir.
Yes. So with Rebels, I'm just curious, do you guys want to see Darth Vader appear in Rebels or any of the original trilogy characters appear in the series?
We might see Tarkin, maybe.
I think we'll see Tarkin. I think Vader, we will see him every now and then, but he's a villain you have to use very sparingly in order to be effective.
Do you want to see him?
I would like to see him maybe once a season.
Maybe as a hologram.
Hologram, like his shadow.
Because it's like the Inquisitor is the one you see when stuff is really going down, and Vader is the one you see when it's really going down.
It
would be cool to see Lando, though. Now, if we
isn't
saw
that confirmed?
Well, it's confirmed that Billy Dee Williams is doing something. Did he confirm it was
cool
Lando, though?
To see Lando, like, in his pre-Cloud City owning, maybe. He's a gambler that comes into this planet and, whatever.
I want to see him meet Lobot.
And was he going to fly the Falcon at that point?
Yeah.
Well, and here we go. Maybe Hondo has the Millennium Falcon, and then it goes to Lando.
Millennium Falcon and Rebels? Come on.
I really want to see Leia. And this is also a very self-serving desire, because I think we're confirmed that we're getting Bail Organa, which is amazing.
Cool.
So I think we should just go to Alderaan for a little bit, and then we should get Leia, and there should be a white-haired girl who is
maybe
Leia's
Winter.
Confident, named Winter, and she could be canon again.
We should just see them, jumping rope in the very distance.
Yeah, I don't really care. I get is a white-haired
She's
girl
like
on Alderaan.
She's, 16, jumping rope.
I've seen a white-haired girl on Alderaan by Leia.
Galactic Jax or something.
Yeah. I would hope to see Darth Vader in Rebels as the Emperor is in the original trilogy. Sort of that mysterious, terrifying person at the top. Yeah. Looming over everything. Yeah,
we don't need to see the Emperor at all.
Yep.
I don't think we need to see him at all. Emperor?
No, we don't
need
to.
No.
Yeah, Vader in his stead would be awesome.
What about Boba Fett going after the Rebels?
Oh, absolutely.
That would be cool.
That's got to happen. That's got to happen.
One reason.
I'm shocked that you think that.
He's getting a spinoff movie.
Boba Fett.
Bounty Hunter's right.
I'd rather see Hondo.
How do we want this thing to make money?
Boba Fett.
Well, I would like to see Leia in part because of the way that I saw her in The Force Unleashed. And I thought that seeing her character, a young Leia, worked really well in The Force Unleashed. So I'd like to see that again in Rebels for sure.
And Juno and Coda.
Coda's cool.
That would be cool.
Everybody go pester Sam Witwer about that. All right. Next question, sir. Thank you.
I guess one thing I've heard from other people, too, and especially I felt it after seeing the clip with Zeb, his whole little clip. Like, he's a really cool character, and I understand he's very powerful because I know his backstory is he used to be a royal guard, so he was, like, the best of the best. But I'm kind of worried that they'll make the stormtroopers too, like, ditzy, easy to get rid of, because he literally went through, like, 20 of them and didn't even care.
But they were ditzy.
I was about to say, that fits the movie, so we're good.
That's something
I was outside of a barn, and they were galactically
I don't know. Suddenly, they're really awesome on the Tantivee. By the way, Pablo Hidalgo says it's Tantivee now. So they're really awesome on the Tantivee 4, but apparently they suck the rest of the series. So.
Yeah,
well, he brings up a point that I was going to ask about, because we've seen that in the Sabine short, too. Like, the Stormtroopers aren't... They're not super impressive.
Yeah.
But my thought on it was, I wonder, though, is the Empire just already in such a place of control that they're complacent?
It seemed like it in one of the clips.
They're just like, we're not gonna train that much. We got this Lothal business under control.
Commando guy. What's his name with the chops?
Callus.
So Callus.
Callus,
so I think
Callus.
Maybe
amazing
chops. You got the Stormtroopers that are just to give everyone something to do, and then you have all these, like, named characters that are actually going to be, like, forces to reckon with. So
you got
to
have fodder at some part.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have some fodder out there. Stormtrooper
faceless
is the fodder.
Goons.
It's the faceless fodder of Star Wars. It always will be.
Absolutely. Until battle droids of the original trilogy.
Yeah. Only Imperial Stormtroopers are so precise.
They fall precisely on the ground.
Very precise.
Well, like he said, I definitely agree, but I think that different garrisons, different units of Stormtroopers would have different levels of skill, different levels of training. Like, you might have some outpost way out in the middle of nowhere that the Empire really doesn't care about. And they're like, well, let's just send our worst troops there. We don't really care about that place anyway.
Yeah. Instead of, like, the 501st with Vader.
I guess part of it is, since it's Legends now, it doesn't really matter. But
hang on, sir.
Legends will always matter.
Let me rephrase that.
From a technical
Legends
command.
Will always be real to me. But I mean, for, like, their creative.
As far as I understand, sir.
As far as Disney's concerned.
Just giving you a hard time. There we go.
because like, in the Legends, like, they were really established as, like, the elite crack troops, and then, like, the Imperial Army was the fodder, and the Stormtroopers were supposed to be, like, super awesome. And then the 4, 5, and 6, it was kind of like, oh, well, it was, like, the, you know, main characters whole thing where you can't hit main characters.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
We'll see.
Unless you have a moon.
This is true. Thank you, sir. Next question, sir. What's your name?
I'm Zach.
Zach. We'll talk to you.
So, do we know, and if this has already been stated, but is Kanan's character, did he survive Order 66, or was he Ahsoka's where he left the Order before?
No, he was there for 66. A New Dawn goes into it a little bit more. It doesn't say, like, with excruciating detail, but it goes into him getting out of there, why the way he is like this, and a certain Jedi who helped him escape.
Wasn't he the Padawan at that time?
Yeah, he was like 13 or 14.
I think he was like 14 at the time. It's unclear as to whether the person who helps him escape is his actual Jedi Master or not. Again, I'm trying to not do spoilers here.
He's seen some stuff, you know?
He has seen some stuff, and it's affected how he is, because he goes the opposite way of Kenobi.
So he wasn't technically a knight?
No. He was like a very young teen. He's probably younger, Ahsoka's age or younger, I think.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question.
Two questions, really. One thing, my brother.
We only allow one, sir. No.
Going back to Voss and the Clone Wars, what was the fans' reaction to him? Because I know in the comics he was very hard-edged, very serious. In the Clone Wars, he was like a surfer dude. I mean, yeah. Hey,
well, have you met Doug? Because he's kind of like that. the guy who they was the face model for Voss.
Okay.
He seems very chill like that. So maybe they took it from him. I don't know.
The second thing is, I heard some comments that the Jedi never lived up to their potential, and the Clone Wars, they were always getting, you know, whacked off. Like when Kenobi and Voss, when he gets, and I can't remember the bounty hunter.
Cad Bane.
Cad Bane. Mm-hmm. Two Jedi against him, and he still got, he still escaped.
He's got rocket boots, man.
Yeah. Yeah, still, Boba Fett, he lost his head. That was Jango, my bad. But do you think, I mean, do you think the Jedi lived up to their hype, or do you think you powered them down somehow?
Well, I think part of the prequel era in general is seeing the Jedi not live up to their potential and seeing, you know, like Yoda says, there's, you know, a shroud over the Force. So I think that fits a little bit with the time period and Palpatine's machinations of knocking the Jedi down.
That and Cad Bane obviously has experience with Jedi. He's obviously done a lot of research about them, too. Just the way that he knows how they think, basically. The Jedi have become predictable. So.
It's Kenobi, man. Thanks for your question, sir. I think we can get everybody in, so let's jump to our next question.
Actually, my question's kind of going off of that. I love Clone Wars, huge fan, but one criticism that I've gotten from friends, I want your help to defend against.
Oh, boy.
And we are here.
People always say, you know, I've had multiple friends say, is Yoda ever right about anything? At first I wanted to be like, oh, you know, that's totally unfair. He's super wise. And then I thought about it. He really does get a lot wrong in Clone Wars. I mean, he misses the Ahsoka plot line in a pretty major way.
Yeah,
the clones figure out more about what Palpatine's doing than Yoda does.
I think, I mean,
Fives figures out way more. So what should I say to these
people? I think a lot of that is very telling of where the dark side is at this point in time, because, you know, yeah, Yoda is his reputation is for being the wise Grand Master of the Jedi Order, because he didn't normally get stuff wrong, you know? But the dark side has clouded so much, and he has let himself get, you know, embroiled in all of this upheaval that, you know, he can't get things right because of that. And the dark side's affecting him. It's not until he goes and exiles himself to Dagobah, where he can just do nothing but meditate on the Force and clear his own mind, that he is actually able to do right, you know, come to right conclusions again when he trains Luke Skywalker and be able to direct him appropriately.
And you do see his wisdom in the series in things like putting Ahsoka with Anakin to try to help temper him. And, you know, at the end in the Lost Missions, you know, he has all his visions and he realizes, okay, you know, maybe we're not going to win these Clone Wars. I know that things haven't gone, you know, how they're supposed to, but he has the wisdom to start preparing for the future, which helped me a lot with Revenge of the Sith. I was always a little upset that he kind of just ran off from Sidious so easily when Sidious was also kind of on the ropes. But, you know, seeing him know that the future is what matters, I think, informs Yoda a lot.
Yeah, if you haven't seen The Lost Missions, definitely watch it, because it shows you where Yoda's coming from as far as he starts seeing, I don't think this will turn out well. And you see what he thinks of that, too. Also, I think Palpatine knows what he's doing when it comes to the Jedi. He's very familiar with the Jedi. He knows how to deceive them. He's not necessarily thinking that some random clone trooper might figure something out. So it's Palpatine can't see all, but he does know that his target, one of his major targets, is the Jedi. And so he's planned that very carefully.
More that there's a focus on.
Yeah. Well, and here's what you need to tell your friends. to say,
you don't need that kind of negativity.
Here's the friend's card. So here's the friend card, and saying, I'm giving this to you now. I want it back if you don't agree with me. And that is say, one of the greatest points of the entire saga, and I'll just say this, really, we need to do like a whole panel on this sometime, but one of the greatest parts of the Star Wars saga is just the way you see people and the way Luke sees Yoda as a fool, when in reality, by that time, he's one of the wisest people in the galaxy, and you slowly discover that. And in the prequels, it's kind of the inverse. Everyone respects Yoda. He's so wise. And down to the last phrase, pretty much, that he said to Palpatine, he said, at an end, your rule is. It didn't work out so well. So, I mean, and that's kind of the point. That's great storytelling, is where the way people, the impression matters. And I think that's actually a tool of it. And tell them that they need to understand that, or you want your card back. Next question, sir.
When it comes to Star Wars Rebels, do you think we'll see appearance of Starkiller?
No.
Amy? No. I'm sorry.
I don't think so either. Nah.
James, no?
I think that's kind of...
Again, everybody go pester Sam Witwer.
That's in part, I think, the role the Inquisitor is playing. So it might be a little redundant to have Starkiller on top of that.
Yeah. Would I think it would be neat? Yes, totally.
Yes, for
I'm
sure.
I'm a fan of Starkiller.
How about the Rebels take down the Empire?
I don't think it'll happen, but that would be... That would be cool. There's a better chance of us getting Mara Jade back than Starkiller,
I think.
Oh, please.
I feel sick
when
I think about it.
No, bring it back. Well, I'll tell you what, we're pretty much out of time, but we have a few minutes. I believe we have a giveaway.
Let's